Good morning. It is Wednesday, July 21st. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott, joined right now by Brad Crawford from SEC Media Days. Full disclosure, Brad and I, we already had this conversation, and right when we were about to hang up, I said, Brad, I forgot to hit record. So this is going to sound like you're listening to it in 1.5 times audio, because Brad, I feel horrible about taking up your time again. I know we want to get to Dave & Buster's with our free SEC Media Days Dave & Buster points and go watch the NBA Finals. So we're going to do quick hitters from all these coaches, okay? I'm going to remove myself from the conversation, and we're going to get your thoughts. And at the end of our conversation, I'm going to bring in new 24/7 Sports college football analyst Blake Brockermeyer to talk about the Bryce Young name, image, likeness, seven figure, all that stuff, Brad. Okay, so first of all, thank you so much for doing this again with me. It's why you're the best. What was your take on the new NCAA and SEC rule about college football overtime? You sat in the media room today during the director of officiating's speech.
Yeah, you know, before they announced that major rule change about two-point conversions and, you know, them being mandatory from the third overtime onward, the SEC head of officiating spoke about points of emphasis, is kind of how he worded it, and that's added protection for defensive players, crackdown on unsportsmanlike conduct and taunting. You know, we saw last week at Big 12 Media Days, horns down became a national story. And then illegal contact against quarterbacks. And the one I found most interesting, Trey, was guarding against players faking injuries. That's something that's become this is a bad word to say at the current state, but pandemic in college football, you know, seeing players slow down tempo-based offenses by grabbing an ankle and, you know, having the training team come out there and fake limping off. You know, the SEC's head of officials said that this is a player safety concern. You know, he's worried about players actually being hurt and being, you know, hurried off the field, whereas it might not be faking it. So, but getting back to that major rule change, though, yet the SEC does not want to see, you know, 4.5 hour football games going to 7 and 8 overtime. So what they're doing, starting with the 2021 season, college football wide, is a 2-point conversions must be attempted after touchdowns in the second overtime. And then if two teams battling get to a third overtime onward, they have to go for two instead of, you know, have a short 4-down drive. So that's going to certainly speed up games. And I think the overtime rule change is necessary.
Yeah, I like the changes. I won't talk too much about it because I already did in the alternate version of our podcast that did not get
the saved. Alternate.
The day began with Kirby Smart, then Josh Heupel, then Mark Stoops of Kentucky, and then Lane Kiffin of Ole Miss. Brad, we're going to go rapid fire through these four coaches. I'm going to say the name, and you're going to tell me what stood out about their appearances at SEC Media Days. We'll start with Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I thought Kirby was very confident. He's been SEC Media Days now several years. You know, Sam's last season, the Zoom version. But Kirby knows, Trey, that this year's team is probably the most complete he's had in Athens. He brought a star quarterback with him in JT Daniels, who I think right now is a pretty good Heisman bet. You know, he's 5 or 6 on the list behind other quarterbacks, but JT may have the best talent around him offensively. JT was also strong at the podium, and Kirby knows that, you know, the schedule is conducive to success. He's got 8 starters back. I think that's the total number on defense. And I've already mentioned the weapons on the other side of the ball is Amir White, Daniels, Pickens, Eric Gilbert transfer, 2 other transfers who are going to start in the secondary. So this is the time to shine for Kirby Smart. I wouldn't call this a make or break year like some other analysts are saying, but Kirby sounded confident today. And I think he sort of won the day out of the coaches that spoke.
I was talking to Jake Rowe of Dog 24/7 about George Pickens, Brad, the receiver. Obviously, yep. He won't be ready for week one. Could play, though, in November. So mark that down in your calendar. George Pickens could return from the ACL injury. Jake was telling me the question is not will he be ready to play? Will he choose to play? And Jake and the Georgia insiders think that he should do that because George won't test especially well at an NFL combine and could really use the proof of production. You had good things to say about Josh Heupel in our last episode, Brad. You want to kind of repeat them in Cliff Notes format?
Sure. He sort of mentioned that, you know, he's now the caretaker of Tennessee football. That was kind of a interesting word choice to use. I haven't heard that in all the times I've been to Media Days. But to be honest with you, Trey, if he has a losing season this year and then, you know, 2022 goes south, then maybe he's the undertaker of Tennessee football. So this is a roster, man, that's just not ready to, you know, win 8 or 9 games like Tennessee fans want. I think Josh understands the task at hand. You know, I thought maybe he may have been nervous during his first appearance in Birmingham, but I don't think he was at all. You know, he pushed his point across, much like South Carolina's first year coach Shane Beamer did on Monday. And I think his offense, the, you know, ones he has utilized at great success at Missouri and UCF, I think it's going to work at Tennessee. It's not going to work this season, but you know, once he gets his players in there, and I ain't talking about three-star guys or transfer portal inserts, you know, I think Heupel will have a pretty good go of it.
You and I both think that Joe Milton will probably be the starting quarterback for the Vols. Kentucky has had a great offseason, strong NFL draft, great recruiting class in 2022 that they're building on. Really awesome job in the transfer portal. Wandale Robinson, Jaquez Jones from Ole Miss, Dari Rosenthal from LSU. Did Mark Stoops come across in any different way than you'd seen him in the past media days, Brad?
Not really, but you know, he's 49 and 50 heading into year 9 at Kentucky, and about half those wins have come the last 3 years. So Mark has his program heading in the right trajectory, which is, you know, that's the word everybody uses when you mention hot seats, warming seats, cold seats. Is this program going in the right direction? I think it is under Mark Stoops. Several analysts are, you know, taking UK to finish third in the SEC East, may even see a second place finish. So Chris Rodriguez, very good running back. Kentucky should be better at the quarterback spot. And then I think they have landed the most impactful transfer in the SEC in Nebraska's Wendell Robinson. He's going to have, 1,100 or 1,200 yards all purpose. And he really opens that offense a bit for Mark Stoops.
It's a good soundbite, Brad. We're going to clip that up and turn it into a video. Lane Kiffin, everyone was excited to see him. He didn't disappoint. He's got a lot of the Nick Saban quirks, the shrug, the hand motions, hand gestures. You and I both enjoyed being in the room with him.
Oh, Lane Kiffin. Yeah, he was the sort of the end of day guy. You know, one of the first things Lane said, Trey, was they have to get better defensively. You know, we always talk about how sexy the Lane train is, you know, throwing the football around, going for it on fourth down. Lane Kiffin mentioned how analytics plays a big part of his program. But the bottom line is this: if Ole Miss continues to be trash defensively, then they're going to be a 6-6, 7-5 at best program. So in order to beat Nick Saban and Texas A&M, and they're going to have to be better on that side of the ball and have to fix all the missed assignments. And I think Kiffin kind of mentioned that this afternoon.
Brad, this will be our last podcast of SEC Media Days. You and I are both hitting the road Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday slate's pretty fun. Nick Saban, Clark Lee, Mike Leach, Jimbo Fisher. I'm excited about it. Thank you so much for recording this podcast twice with me. You have crushed it here in Hoover. Follow Brad Crawford at bcrawford247. He's posting all of his content, and there is an absolute ton of it. So, Brad, thank you. We're going to go take a quick break, and then we're going to bring in Blake Brockermeyer to talk about his take on name, image, likeness 20-ish days into that era of college football, especially in light of the whole Bryce Young bomb that Nick Saban dropped in Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's really surprising to me. I mean, I think you've seen some smaller stuff here and there, but I figured, I mean, college football teams and people have known about this for at least 2 years. This was going to happen last year, and then COVID happened and they pushed it back a year. So I know in the rooms that I were in, we were talking about this years ago. And so it's not like it was a surprise to anyone. So, you know, I'm surprised that some of the bigger programs haven't stepped up and done stuff. I'm sure, you know, you got to think people are still working on stuff, but I mean, where's Texas? Where's USC? Where's Notre Dame, Michigan? I mean, there's a way more than that. Florida, I mean, you keep going, Florida, Georgia. I mean, there's tons of, you know, powerhouse football, blue blood programs that you just haven't seen much from, and you'd expect to see more of it in the future. But I am surprised at the lack of money that's been, you know, transferred down to the players for you know, these schools that have big alumni bases who are passionate about football. You just haven't seen very much so far.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some stuff we've seen. Miami obviously is the big one, where that gym owner is going to spend like $600,000 a year. And then North Carolina and Michigan are actually they're doing the group licensing, and Michigan's going to do the player merchandise, which I think is cool. Like, you know, not everyone's, no offense to the offensive lineman, Blake, like, you know, you I don't know if you would have like made a lot of jersey sales back in the day, but like at least it's an option. We know how big of a deal NIL is going to be in recruiting. So to your point, absolutely. Like it is surprising that we haven't seen a big mega booster at every single school, like just pistol whip somebody with like an insane amount of money.
Yeah, it's honestly very surprising to me. I've been, you know, a little bit surprised that we haven't seen more of this, but I think it's still early. But like I said, you know, this has been a known thing for years. So there are a lot of very wealthy people out there that can afford to do things. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes in the future. But so far, I give it a D as how it's gone so far, because, you know, you're seeing small deals, small little local things going on. But I mean, there's some star power that's out there in college football right now. And it just, so far it hadn't, you know, worked out for the players, but I think, you know, I think it will eventually. But, you know, after today, after what, you know, Coach Saban said, I think, you know, that'll definitely ruffle some feathers and get some people, you know, kind of get the ball rolling a little bit.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.